Well, if you're just visiting here this morning, we have been going through the last couple months now, a long series of lessons on parenting. We're going to finish that up this morning. We're actually going to turn the attention to children, not just children living at home, but children, okay? I am a child as much as any of you are, and so there is a responsibility that I still have to honor my parents. The honor part does not go away. I'll explain that here shortly. But God has a message for children who are at home, and he wants us to be listening to that message. I want to start here in Luke chapter 2, in verse 51 and 52. This is talking about Jesus when he was a young man. We don't have much information about him, but this is what we're told. Luke 2:51 says that he went down with them, his parents, Joseph and Mary, that is, and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. I find this an amazing verse here. Despite their human imperfections, their susceptibility to error, perhaps their misjudgments about things, their human flaws, if you will, Jesus still saw fit as the Son of God to subject himself to his earthly parents, Joseph being considered his earthly father, even though he literally was not. But Jesus submitted to Joseph and Mary in that way because it was the right thing to do. He was willing to accept losses, if you will, in order to uphold the law that he was born under. And that law says, honor your father and mother. And Jesus rightly knew that his honor of his heavenly father would be impossible unless he would honor his earthly parents. And so it is today. Children, in order to be pleasing to God, we must likewise honor and submit to our parents, our mother and father, even if those parents are unbelievers. It doesn't mean that we don't submit to them. It just means it might limit how we can submit to them. The responsibility for Christian parents actually lies upon both parties. We have Christian parents. We have those children in those, shall we say, Christian homes, home environments, that is. Parents are to teach and discipline their children how and why they are to honor them. They are to reinforce and instruct them. We had that reading there in Psalm 78. Well, it's a long psalm there if you were to read it, but the introduction there is really powerful. The psalmist is saying that here's some very, very important things to say. And these are things that we need to pass down from ourselves to our children so that the generations to come will know about God and will praise him. So here's our instruction, parents, when it's all said and done. And that is that we are to teach our children about God. And we teach our children how we to honor us as parents so that they can honor God in that way. As I said before in another lesson, if you don't teach your children about God, the world will teach your children how to be godless. And that's true. That's not just me using a scare tactic. That's just the way it is. You've got to teach your children who God is and how to respect him rightly. Obviously, this refers to children of age, old enough to understand what we're talking about and to carry that out. I hope that goes without saying. Especially, this is directed at those children, those adolescent children, teenagers who are old enough not only to know better, but also should be starting to take into consideration the responsibility that is falling upon them as coming-of-age adults there. But this is not all about law and fear of judgment. Paul goes on in Ephesians 6 as well as in Exodus 12:20 there when it's first said. It says that this is a command with a promise. There is a blessing to parents and to children who obey. In an age where disrespect has become accepted and fashionable and popular, it is critical that parents and children alike come to terms with what it means to honor God. Okay? So we don't want to be like the world. Remember what we said. The world is backward. The world is going in the wrong direction. The world is filled with deception and foolishness, and we don't want to model ourselves or our families after the world. Let the world do what it wants. We've got to follow God in what he has said. So Exodus 20, verse 12, this is what's known as the Ten Commandments. The giving of the Ten Commandments is the first time this has ever been said in the Bible. And it says, honor your father and your mother, that the days may be prolonged, your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord gives to you. Implying that if you do not honor your father and mother, then divine judgment may overtake you and destroy you, Israel, And obviously, this was not just to the young children. He's not talking to young children. He's talking to the next generation here. That's really who he's dealing with. And in fact, he goes on to say in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 16, the Levites say, "Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother," and all the people shall say, "Amen." So there's a curse that comes upon a generation that does not, will not honor their own parents. Because that is a generation that is in rebellion, not only to their parents, but also to God himself. And the fact that this point here made it into the top 10 most important commandments that God gave to Israel ought to make us think very seriously about it. We're not to take it lightly. We're not to gloss over this. We're not to say, well, that was then, but this is now. You know, things have changed so much. Well, actually, as far as moral commands go, this has not changed. This is consistent with every moral command or moral covenant that God has made with anybody. In other words, if God is going to make a covenant with you, no matter who you are or what the covenant was, we're looking at all of history now, if God is going to come and make a covenant with you, this point will be part of that covenant. And that's pretty substantial. That's significant. And sometimes we as people in general, might get soft with regard to such instruction because we see violations, but we don't see divine judgment, you know, lightning striking, ground opening up and swallowing families and that sort of thing. We don't see that result, so then we think nothing bad is happening. And yet we're told in Romans 1, verse 30, for example, where disobedience to parents is condemned alongside of haters of God and inventors of evil and a whole score of other things. There are other monstrance and deviant sins of godless people. We see the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. The characteristics of an apostate people, the ungodly generation, the secular world in the last days is disobedience to parents. So what are we saying? We're looking out in the world and we're seeing all kinds of disobedience to parents. And we're thinking, well, they're not getting struck down by God. So maybe if we did that, we're okay too. You know, that might enter into our mind, even if it's not consciously. It's still kind of there. And God is coming back and saying, well, no, actually, I'm still very serious about this. And regardless of what the world tells you, this is my position. Just because the earth doesn't open up and swallow people doesn't mean that he's any more tolerant about disobedience. So this is just something we're just laying the groundwork and saying, is God serious about this still? Yes, he is. All right. Let's move on. All right, so the purpose of this commandment then is not to frighten us or place a burden on children of any age that they could not carry, but rather for preservation. Preservation of the family as well as preservation of individual souls. First of all, it is to warn against the deterioration of the family because the family is that social nucleus, that social fabric, the fundamental core of any given society. Honoring your father and mother is one of the foundation stones, if you will, the foundation markers or boundaries there of any successful relationship with God. In other words, it has to be there. It has to exist. In the law of Moses, children of responsible age who did not honor their parents were executed. Now, we don't have any example of that actually happening in the Bible, but that doesn't mean that God was just throwing that out there like, hey, well, here's something you should think about. He was saying that this is a command. And that's not due to the vengeance of the parents, but to eradicate all sources of evil and rebellion. It's a contagion. It's a threat. It's something that can destroy the family, something that can destroy the tribe, if you will. It's something that can destroy Israel. So why are we going to allow it to happen? We are just studying right now in Deuteronomy chapter 13. God's saying if there's anyone who incites you to idolatry in your midst, even if it's a close friend, even if it's a relative, even if it's your own spouse or your own children, you are to put those people to death because they are going to take you down with them if you follow and listen to them. That sounds harsh, I know, because we're all conditioned to this hypersensitive political correctness. The fact is, God is right. Those people, if we were to listen to them, who incite rebellion among us, those people are carrying us into the way of the world, the path of destruction, the wide path, rather than keeping us on the straight and narrow path that leads to life. Now, we're not given permission to kill people. That's not what I'm saying, okay? But you do find in the law of Moses, the same thing is said about prostitutes, witches, warlocks, mediums, idolaters. They've all forfeited their right to live. And if a family disintegrates, eventually that negatively affects the society, which is, in the case of Israel, God's possession. And so it is today among Christians. If the Christian home disintegrates, it negatively affects the church, the congregation. In fact, it negatively affects the whole brotherhood. And when the church is negatively affected, it affects the society in which the church dwells. And if society is negatively affected, it affects the whole community of humankind. There's a negative repercussion then that goes along with this. It's not just an isolated little thing. Like, you know, you get a little isolated cancer and it doesn't grow, it doesn't do anything. What do cancers do? They grow and they spread. That's why they kill people, okay? It's because that's what they do. And so it is with rebellion. It doesn't just stay to its own and keep quiet. It always festers and incites more rebellion. It grows and it destroys. We need to seriously respond to this and train our children and enforce this. Losing a soul now is far worse than losing your life under the old law. So there's more at stake here than ever. Secondly, for the purpose for this command to honor our God and honor him through honor of our parents is to produce this healthy fear and respect for God. By fear, really we mean reverence here, because reverence is good. You know, we're told in Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so you have to have a healthy respect of who's speaking, who's telling you this, not just some puppet or not some imaginary thing in the constellation there that we all bow down to, but we, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, no, he's not real, okay? He's not a fairy tale. He's not an imaginary figment of our imagination. He's someone who is really speaking to us, who does exist, who has manifested himself to us in history as a real and potent God. So a father and mother represent godly authority to young children. In fact, it's the children's first encounter with God himself, to some respect. And the parent has great responsibility then to represent God in the household. And if the child refuses to honor or obey his parent, that rebellion is something that will most likely carry into adulthood. Now you don't just have a rebellious child who needs to be disciplined and you know that rebellion taken out of him, if you will, but now you have an adult who is probably going to end up confronting other authorities higher than parental authorities, like the law and the governmental authorities. And this principle then is similar to our attitude as adults to our governing authorities, whatever God has put in place as an authority figure, if you will. And we're supposed to respect that. We're not supposed to rebel against that. Romans 13, verse 1 through 3, for example, I'm not going to get into that in this lesson, but Paul does talk there about our need to honor the authorities because they have been put into place by God. The governing authorities, you may not like what they do, but that doesn't mean it gives you a right to dishonor them. 1 Peter 2, verse 17, Peter says, honor the king. Well, whether we have a king or a president or any kind of governing body, we are to recognize that power that the king has is derived eventually from God himself. He's the one who's given that king power to rule, and that power is over us as a secular authority there, and we're supposed to respect that. So parents, like legitimate governing authorities, ultimately derive their power and their authority from God, and children are to respect that. It's really what we're saying. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:20 gives a parallel passage, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is right. Well, that's what well-pleasing to the Lord means. It's right. So regardless if the parents are Christians or obedient, children have an obligation to submit and willfully obey just as Christ did, just as we saw Christ doing with Joseph and Mary. In the Lord, that phrase in the Lord means according to his will, something that is well-pleasing to God. The word honor here that he uses in chapter 6, verse 2, means to value highly, to esteem, to hold in high regard. Paul is just simply quoting from in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 2 there. He's simply quoting from the Ten Commandments there. And this is what he says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So that word honor means to value highly, to esteem, hold in high regard, treat with respect and dignity, act appropriately, if you will, to God. John chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, Jesus says to the Jews, the Father has given all judgment to the Son so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. The reason I use this passage here is because we have a lot of people in the world today who are thinking that they're honoring the Father, or whatever name they call him, okay? They think that they're giving honor to him, but they're not honoring the Son whom the Father has sent, whom the Father has given authority to in the first place. How is this any different, in principle anyway, than to the parents? God has given honor to his Son, and his Son is to be honored along with the honor that people are to give to God. And so God has entrusted parents with a responsibility, and they are to be honored as well as, or in, as an extension of, honoring God. But people want to bypass that honoring the parents part, just like people are trying to bypass honoring Christ. You can't do that. I mean, people do it. I'm not saying that it's impossible to do. I'm saying it's not going to work. It's not going to bring about the conclusion, rather, that a person is looking for. John chapter 8, verse 49, Jesus is talking to Jews here who are accusing him of being in collaboration or working together with demons of all things. And this is Jesus' response. They do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. How can I possibly have a demon and honor my Father all at the same time? But you, in your dishonor of me, what he's implying here, you dishonor my Father by accusing me of being in league with demons. And he proved his honor of the Father through all the miracles that he performed. John chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So now we see the honor going the other direction when it is appropriate. When you honor the Son of God in your pursuit of honoring the Father himself, then in due time, he doesn't say when, but in due time, the Father will give you the honor that you deserve for having made that decision in the first place. So, what goes around comes around, right? That's what we see here. If you honor in the right way, then honor will come back to you. Those who honor Jesus by following him are themselves honored by God. All I'm trying to say here is to flesh out, if you will, some of our understanding of this word honor. When it says, honor your father and mother, what does that mean and why is that there? What is God's message ultimately there? So a child cannot think, well, I can honor God at the expense of my parents. I think there's a lot of kids and teenagers and even grown adults who think that they can honor God by stepping on their parents, or you know, by excluding their parents or disregarding their parents, even holding them in contempt. And that just does not work. Jesus soundly condemned the Pharisees who did that in Matthew 15. He says that you say whatever was could have been given to my parents to help them in their poverty or in their time of need, I gave that to God instead. That sounds so virtuous and pious. And Jesus comes back and says, actually, you invalidate the law of God when you do that. Certainly God wants your sacrifice. Certainly God wants your piety. He wants your devotion. But in part of that piety and devotion has to be a respect for the people who brought you into this world and who have authority over you in your early years and who have demonstrated the position that is worthy of your respect. So you're basically stepping on those people and says, but I'm going to give to God. And isn't it wonderful? Think about how Jesus responded to that attitude. So what happens today if someone sounds like he's talking, you know, very piously, if you will, to God and, you know, singing praises to the Lord and taking the Lord's Supper, but he holds his parents in contempt? How is that any different? Or doesn't give to his parents, or doesn't see to their welfare, especially in their old age, doesn't take care of their parents when he's able to? Or even a young child, and when I say that, I mean a child capable of understanding this instruction, and a teenager being held accountable to that. What about that who says, well, I'm worshiping God, it's just I hate my parents. okay? Or I just loathe my parents' responsibility there. Or suppose a father is considered for a candidate for an elder, and he has excellent administrative skills, he teaches classes, he's knowledgeable in the scriptures, and yet his children rule his house. Doesn't that automatically disqualify him? So how important is this to God? Well, it seems to me extremely important that this seems to be a foundational premise for one's coming before God. The point here is that you can't claim to be right with God and still be in violation of the commandments of God at the same time. The Pharisees claimed that, and Jesus says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of theirs, you can't even enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we want to be clear here. I don't want to follow the Pharisees. They had it all backward. They had some things really messed up. It's like following the world and its foolishness. Why would you follow the people who are being condemned? Let's follow the people who are doing it well. Let's follow the instruction that leads us to life. So to honor then in this context that we've spelled out here based on Jesus' teaching and his own example must mean to respect the position, to respect the authority, to respect even the decisions of the parents as a child, especially under their guardianship. I'm talking here about a child who's still living under his parents' roof. You don't have to like your parents' decisions. You don't have to agree with all their decisions, but open rebellion is sinful. We're told that back in 1 Samuel 15:23, when Samuel is speaking to Saul, who did not listen to God and all the instructions he gave him, and Saul's sitting there trying to give excuses as to, well, you know, there's a reason why I didn't, and Samuel comes back and says, rebellion is as the sin of divination and insubordination, the divines of authority there, is as iniquity, sin, and idolatry. That is true in the home as it was then, as it will be anywhere. God does not favor insubordination in any form. So to obey your parents is another aspect of this as a child, again, under their authority, under their roof. Whatever does not force you to violate the laws of God, because sometimes children will say, teenagers I'm speaking of here, they'll say, well, you know, my parents, you know, they did something and I didn't feel like it was right. Well, who determines what is right? God determines that. If they're forcing you to violate your conscience or violate the law of God, well, then you can't do that. But in any other case, you need to do that, even if you don't like it. And that's part of honoring your parents. And this is actually the first step towards showing responsibility and maturity, is to voluntarily submit yourself to a higher authority, first in the home and then elsewhere as an adult. If you can't master this at home or don't get it down at home, then you're really not prepared to go out into the world where there'll be higher and more powerful authorities than your parents that you'll have to deal with. So it's for our own good here. Let me give you some examples of honor. You obey the house rules. That's part of honoring your parents. You're trustworthy and honest in what you say, even to your own hurt. Kids, when I say that, okay, teenagers among us. Even to your own hurt, you tell the truth. You are being where you said you'd be, and you're spending time with who you said you'd spend time with. I can tell you stories about me not doing this when I was young, and I am not proud of that. And I got in some big trouble for all that when I was found out, because I was. That is not the route to go. I'm not saying follow Chad's example here. I'm saying use Chad's example as a way not to go. Listen to what God is saying here. Be where you say you're going to be. Spend time with who you say you're going to spend time with. Hold your parents at a higher level of respect than you do your friends. This is a real big deal, because young people will tend to have all kinds of respect for their peers, for their friends, people of their same age and same demographic, if you will, and then they come back and, you know, mouth off to their parents and get all lippy and sneer and everything else and think that that's okay. You know, hold your friends in high respect, but I can condemn and hold my parents in contempt here. Actually, no, you can't. Not if you want to be right with God anyway. You need to actually hold your parents to a higher level of respect than your friends. That also means if your friends start disrespecting your parents, you ought to actually stand up for your parents instead of agreeing with your friends. It means that as well. It means not cheating and not being deceptive with regard to responsibilities entrusted to you, whether it's homework or time on the video game or doing chores or any responsibility that your parents have told you to do. You're not trying to always find, you know, the shortcut, the escape clause, the easy way out. How can I make it look like I did the whole thing without actually doing the whole thing? You fill in the blanks. You know what I'm talking about. Here's some examples of dishonor. Well, you refuse to do what your parents tell you to do. You deceive your parents by clever manipulation, or by what we call twisting the truth. It's not entirely wrong. It's just not entirely forthcoming either, okay? You hold back certain information that you know will incriminate you or find you guilty because you want your parents to favor you. So you only give information that favors you and not all the truth. And also, you're not where you promised you would be, or you are just outright lying. And God has a lot of things to say about liars, and it never ends up well for those who choose to lie as a way of dealing with themselves and other people. When you give respect to your friends, but again, are lippy and sassy and smart aleck to your parents, that is a dishonor to them. When you're being ungrateful, when you're being unpolite, when you're being uncooperative with your parents, especially when you didn't get your way. I've been in your shoes, young people. I understand what that's like. When you wanted to do something and the parents said no, and you thought they were being unreasonable and that they're idiots and that they are just don't understand, that they're out to, Garissa, can I do it? Ruin your life, okay? And so I understand all that, and I get the feeling because I've been there too. But the fact is, they're your parents. They are in authority, and they have a right to say no even when you say yes. And they have a right to say yes even when you say no. Now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't, you know, explain that if you're of age and need an explanation, but the bottom line is, this is part of honoring your parents. This is part of what it's all about. And the examples I gave you, examples of dishonor need to be avoided. Now, what about after you move out, you're no longer that person who's living under their roof? You need to provide for their welfare beyond what is in their ability to do. I'm not suggesting at all or saying enable your parents in their irresponsibility. Sometimes parents, even though they're parents, they make foolish choices and they make very sinful decisions sometimes, and I'm not saying you should support them in that because I'm just honoring my parents, okay? If your parents, for example, I don't know, I'm just picking an example, they want to go gamble their life savings away, and you say, well, here's some money to help you out, you know, or they've gambled their life savings away, and then they come to you asking for more money so they can gamble, and you just sit there and keep feeding that problem. Well, that's called enabling irresponsibility. That makes you as guilty as them. You're an accomplice. So we're not talking about that. But we are talking about cases like what Jesus confronted there in Matthew 15. Once again, here's some parents who are in need. They are perhaps impoverished, or they are in desperate need of basic necessities. And what Jesus says here is the support of your parents who are in genuine need, as a qualifying statement there, ought to be a priority over even your offerings brought to God. And this, I want to be clear on this. This doesn't mean that you give nothing to God and defer all offering checks to your parents. I think someone might take that from that. You know, like Chad saying, I don't have to give any offering anymore. I can just give it to my parents, and I'm covered both bases. Right? No, actually, it never says as instead of your offering. It says as a matter of priority. Take care of your parents first, and then give your offering to God. Don't give your offering at the expense of your parents. If everyone did that, if everyone just gave to their parents only, we couldn't have congregations. Every congregation would collapse. There is a need for giving to God, and there is a need for giving to your parents. Understand both needs in their rightful context. But if your parent is without food or clothing or basic necessities, has nowhere to go, nowhere to live, and you're just ignoring them and saying, but I'm giving to God, and that makes it all right. Now you're falling to the same thing the Pharisees did. And Jesus condemned that. Especially when your parents or parent is a widow. That is something to consider. Think about Jesus with Mary when he's on the cross, and he entrusted the welfare of Mary that from that point forward to John the Apostle. So it is 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul has some things to say about that responsibility. 1 Timothy 5, starting in verse 3 and 4, he's talking about widows here. He says, honor widows who are widows indeed. Well, that means your parents. And by the way, that word honor there in the context actually denotes a form of financial honoring. Financial help is really what he's talking about, because that's, if you read the whole context, that's what he's getting at. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, they must first those children or grandchildren must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. He goes down to verse 8 and says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's pretty strong language there. Serious warning. So what is Paul saying? Well, he's saying if your parent is a widow or widower, well, then take care of them. They might depend upon you for assistance. This was written in an age before Social Security and, you know, the welfare state that we're familiar with today and so on. But that doesn't change the matter of priority or the matter of need here as far as you're concerned. You are still to take care of your parents. And thus, to obey them is really limited to a time when your parents serve as an authority figure directly over you and you are expected to submit to them. But to honor them, that's lifelong. All right, so let's look at it this way. So when you're a child living at home and your parents are over you, you're under their roof and they're over you, you need to obey your parents. They are the law of the house. They have every right to be that law of the house. When you move out of the house, you're no longer under their roof. You no longer have to obey the law of the house because you're not in the house. But it doesn't change the fact that you are still to honor those parents who are really your first encounter with God in this world and who are entrusted with the responsibility of bringing you up and have given so much and sacrificed so much to give you what you have and to bring you where you are. You're to make a return on that. So obedience is limited to usually the early part of your life, but honoring your parents, that is, there's no age limit on that. You can be 65 years old and have 85-year-old parents, and you are to honor your parents. And hopefully you have children that are honoring you, okay, and helping you out. But the point here is that that doesn't age out. You don't just get, you know, a certain point where you say, well, parents are too old. I don't have to worry about them anymore. As you all know, actually, that's when your parents need you the most, is when they reach that old age. So we're to honor them and not badmouth them and speak evil of them. I realize that parents sometimes taking care of them can be frustrating. I have personal experience with this, and so might some of you. But at the same time, we are to treat them with respect. So once again, I want to clarify, this does not mean honor their bad habits or honor their sins. We're told in Ezekiel 18, verse 14 and following there, God says, if a son sees his father's sin and does not practice it, he, the son, will live. But if he does practice it, both will die. That principle is still in force. If you see your father doing some sinful act and you follow in his footsteps, well, now it's your sinful act. And you're both going to be condemned for that. But if you see your father doing something wrong and you choose not to imitate that, not to follow that because that goes against God, well, that finds favor with God. You can never honor God or your parents by sinning. There's no way that you can justify honoring anybody by actually sinning against God or someone. We are expected to respect the position, even if you have strong opinions otherwise. By the way, that goes with other authorities, such as teachers or policemen or elders or leaders. I know it's fashionable right now. We've got a group in our society, in our nation. There, I see the T-shirts, not my president. Okay? It's like, people, don't you understand how this works? You have a democratic opportunity to vote for someone, and if you don't get that person in office that you wanted, it doesn't mean that you abdicate all responsibility to honor the person who was rightfully elected. You don't have to like that person. That's not necessary, but you do need to honor the position. I didn't necessarily find a whole lot of favor personally with a guy who was in office for the last 8 years, but I never went around with a T-shirt saying, I am not a citizen of this country, or he's not my president, or anything else. Here's my suggestion to those who are wearing those shirts out there. If you run across them, just tell them, what country do you belong to? If they say America, then say, well, then he's your president. And if they say, I don't like that, you say, okay. And if they say, well, I don't want that, you say, well, you can pack up and move to any other country of your choice. But you can't abdicate responsibility. Imagine a child wearing a T-shirt, not my parents, regarding his parents. Like, well, how does that work exactly? Okay? What you should be doing, speaking out there to that group of people, what you should be doing is you should be thanking God that you have a country and an opportunity where you can make a voice at all. Instead of being in a dictatorship where you are just being trounced upon and you are fully expendable, and you know, what are you going to say then? Not my dictator, okay? No, you're not even going to have the voice to be able to say such things. All right, I just have to introduce that here because it all ties together. This thing about honoring parents and honoring authority and honoring government, it is all tied together. If you're a citizen here, you abide by the laws of this country. This is required of all who want to serve God. Here's what I would say if someone who says, that's not my president, I would say, well, you're being disobedient to God. I can tell you that. Straight up, you're just being disobedient to God. They may not care about that, but that's true nonetheless. I do not abide by the laws of Germany or Spain or France because I do not live there. I'm not a citizen of those countries. I need to abide by the laws of this country because I live here and this is where my citizenry is. Nor do your children abide by someone else's house rules, by the way, unless they're visiting there, and then they do. But otherwise, it's your rules, parents, that they need to abide by, not someone else's. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 through 20 gives us some insight. I know it's talking about slaves to masters. Don't get lost with that. He's talking about principles here, not just simply specific application. 1 Peter 2, verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters. We could read, children, be submissive to your parents, and it all fits here. With all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but those who are unreasonable. That word unreasonable in the Greek actually is the same word. It's scoliosis, from which we get the word scoliosis for the curvature of the spine. It means those who are crooked, those who are not just, those who are not pleasing to God, even those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, verse 19, if for the sake of conscience toward God a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin, you're harshly treated and you endure that with patience? You just basically, you get what you deserve there. But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. We are not endorsing or supporting domestic abuse of any kind here when we say this. Keep it in its context. We're simply saying if you have a situation where you disagree strongly with your parents and you know yet it's the right thing to honor your parents, then honor your parents, even if you disagree with them. Not just when they're fair and reasonable, but even when they're, in your opinion anyway, unreasonable and unfair. You cannot obey God only on the condition of a favorable outcome, which likely, you know, you determined. You cannot say, I'm going to honor my parents, but only if the thing works out in the way I want it to. In other words, you can't do that. You have to do it because it's the right thing to do. Ephesians 6, verse 1, again, Paul does not say, children, obey your parents as long as you get what you want, as long as things go well for you, as long as they cater to your every desire and expectation. It says, honor your parents because it is the right thing to do, for it is right. Or as Colossians 3:20 says, it is well-pleasing to God. Peter is saying here that, in essence, you honor God when you do what is right, even when you suffer loss. By the way, this principle goes across the board, not just children of parents. It's really talking about Christians. When we stand up and do what is right, even if someone is doing something wrong against us, we do what is right. We find favor with God when we do so. But when we start doing evil in retaliation to evil done to us, well, then now we're no different than the world. And we get whatever we deserve for that. But this is the first commandment with a promise. There's an allusion then to the Ten Commandments. This still offers a promise here in the hereafter. Despite the physical base context of the Ten Commandments when they were given, Israel dealing with a land inheritance and so on, we're still dealing with an inheritance. It's just not of this land or this world. We have an opportunity to be with God in the spiritual context. In other words, the first commandment that actually is credited to you that will contribute, not save you, but will contribute to your salvation. Honoring your parents is not a replacement for honoring God, but an expression of it. And those who sincerely honor God will also honor their parents, even to their own hurt, and they will be abundantly compensated for whatever losses they incur by doing so. Let's just say it this way. Joyful obedience to God ought to be a reward in itself. We shouldn't be looking for some other pat on the back or some kind of bonus or brownie button or whatever you want to call it there. You know, like, I'm such a good person and God should recognize that and give me something for that. Actually, your obedience to God should bring about a joy in itself, something that is worthy of respect in itself, if you will. And parents, you are supposed to teach and enforce such honor and such obedience. This is your responsibility, and God is well pleased with that, and so should you be. Children, you are to honor and respect your parents for the same reason, and in doing so, you honor God, and He is very pleased with that. If you're looking to please God, then He's telling you what to do. We have gone through a long series of lessons here, and now it's coming to a close. And I just want to leave you, as we conclude this series, really with this point. Honoring God should be the highest pursuit of any human being. That ought to be the highest pursuit. If you're looking for something great to do in life, if you want some great reason to live or some great life principle, let me give it to you right here. Honor your Creator. You do so initially by honoring your parents, but you continue to do so by honoring the church, honoring the saints, honoring all those who are in authority, honoring anyone who is due honor, as Peter says. And you do so especially by honoring the Word of God and listening to what He says. If you do that, parents and children alike, if we do that, then we'll be giving honor to our Creator. And that will only turn out for good for us. And despite whatever losses you incur in this life, that will be to your best interest. It will be to your credit. It will be good for you. And that's what God wants for you. As parents, as children, as Christians, this is what God wants for us. Let that be our remaining message there as we go into the week. Let's think about that, that God wants what is good. Our highest calling then, all of us, is to honor our Creator. I hope this series has been good for you. I hope you have learned a lot, whether you're parents or children or not, you know, that's as children at home, I should say, or not. I hope that you've gleaned something from that. I hope that you've gained something from that. And I hope that you put it, what we've taught here from God's Word to good use. If there's anyone here that is ready to become a Christian, that's the first step in honoring God, is to obey His gospel. If there's anyone here that wants to obey His gospel in baptism, look, we have water. What prevents you from being baptized? This would be your opportunity this morning if that's your desire. Or any other spiritual need you have, let us help you if we can as we stand and sing the song that Bob has selected for us here.